With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Len Vidopic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Len Vidopic Show. We have so much coming up. Shortly, we'll be having Paul McGowan, the anti-establishment artist, who is never backward at coming forwards, reviewing some of the more contradictory things that have happened this week. When we say we light the fuse for free speech here, Paul's one of the people who comes on and spontaneously combusts. He doesn't need any coaxing or kindling from me. Certainly, I think you'll find his lively take something that you can agree or disagree with, but it will certainly energize you. Then we got Anne Widdecombe in the hour after that on a very interesting and a very concerning subject. Any parent who's been through the child maintenance system in Britain should listen up to what Anne Widdecombe and her party, Reform UK, have highlighted, especially in relation to how child maintenance has been used in a very, very damaging way towards those in the army. That'll be in the next hour, not this one. And after that, we're staying with an even more dark theme. Tim Scott, a former military man himself, will be talking about how it is that the British state ended up protecting and essentially sponsoring a man in a terrorist organization who actually killed more people and was responsible for the killing of more people than he saved. In other words, it seems from a £40 million inquiry that the British state sponsored murder in the British Isles. The man was called State Knife. My guest is called Tim Scott. All of that coming up in the next few hours. But before we go to Paul McGowan, let me just dwell on the rather momentous conversation I had with Vanessa Frake-Harris about the British penal system, the prison system, and its effectiveness or ineffectiveness. And here's the question I want to pose. I don't intend to answer it today, but I do intend to come back to it in a future weekend. To what extent have we got it all wrong when it comes to incarceration? What is the purpose of prison? Is it to punish and deter people from committing crimes? Or should it be to rehabilitate? When I was a member of Parliament, I noticed three things. First of all, that most parliamentarians had very little understanding of the motivations of repeat offenders. They didn't understand why, when somebody had a criminal record and therefore couldn't get work, they resorted to working outside the legal system and the normal accepted norms. It seems obvious to me that if you take away some person's capacity to get an ordinary and a legitimate job, they still have to eat. And if they've got a drug addiction as well, they're likely to continue criminal activity, something which might be enhanced by their contacts and references and learning when behind bars with other criminals. The second thing I noticed was that politicians like to talk tough. They talked about zero tolerance and getting tough on crime and the causes of crime, and sometimes replacing the word crime with drugs. And yet we discover, in all likelihood, that at least one recent British Member of Parliament was a user of cocaine in his younger days. Well, why didn't he simply turn himself in as an example to others and let us see that he wasn't above the law himself? That accusation of hypocrisy when millions of people use drugs in Britain every day, but few get arrested for it, especially in the middle class, creates a kind of double standard in what is expected from those who depend on drugs versus those who voluntarily choose to use them. And I think that dissonance sits very uncomfortably in our society. And the third and the final confusion is this: rehabilitation or revenge? I come to the view that however damaged a person's life may be, just because they've got a past doesn't mean they can't have a future. And however little it satisfies the bloodthirstiness of those who want to hang them high, surely it is not just a little bit more civilized, but also more humane in terms of the expenditure of public funds to cut the cost of repeat offending by giving people that second chance. That doesn't appease the eye for an eye brigade, but it's just good economics to put these people to work. And if you have the sense of industry you require to endlessly feed a habit or to run some criminal organization just to keep going, then perhaps you also have the capacity to make a useful contribution to society. Now, I'm a libertarian. I believe that people should obey the rules, and those rules should be fairly permissive. And perhaps the debate really here is whether locking people up is the most cost-efficient way to make life better for other people. What I've learned from your chat and my conversation with Vanessa is I have to come back to this here at today's News Talk TNT and to have a debate which perhaps the old state-sponsored media doesn't even dare to look at. My commitment to you is to find the right people, and subject to conversation with my team, perhaps we will have a themed day where a substantial part of what we discuss will be about the best way to make our society safer. And the question I'll be asking is, to what extent can those who offend be saved? To what extent should we try to save them? And to what extent can we protect those who choose to live a better life from those who choose to not do so? And then, of course, we've got the irony from my friend on my social network. It's quite possible you'll go to prison for stealing to feed your drug habit, but you get a multi-million pound job as a peace envoy in the Middle East if you invade another country on a false prospectus. And that is maybe one of the reasons people have lost faith in our justice system in Britain. Coming up next is Paul McGann. His only crime is to speak the truth. That's what he'll do on the Len Pitopic Show right here in a moment on TNT.
Bringing you a world view.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Enough of my prosaic perspective on the criminal system. We'll come back to that. We move on to somebody else now. It's none other than the most anti-establishment free-thinking artist I know in the West of England. It's Mad Dog McGown. Paul, how are you?
Good morning, TNT. Hello, Lembit. It's good to be back.
Yeah, you look a lot better.
I'm feeling a lot better now. In the last few days, I've really picked up a lot, changed my meds around a bit. It's just helped masses, you know. So I'm getting back to myself. I was looking at the headlines of the papers last night, and my God, they were dull. I don't even know how it qualified as news, some of it. I can't believe that the Tories are floating Penny Mordaunt again, but more seriously, as in like another change of leadership. And I can't help but think that the establishment love Rishi Sunak and they want to protect him for a massive, huge defeat. And that this is what it is about. I mean, but Penny Mordaunt, she doesn't even know what a woman is or a man. You know, she's totally confused on everything. So nobody's going to vote for that. It's like the Tories don't even understand why people are frustrated. Now, I look at things like this, right? So in the last 30 years of my life, consecutive governments on all sides, all three, you know, three-part, Liberal Democrats played a part in it, Labour played a part in it, and Conservatives have definitely played a part in it recently. Adolf Hitler tried to demoralise the people of this country, and he failed. But the last three governments have managed it, no problem. They've just cruised into it. I've never seen so many despondent people in society. It's like people have given up. Some, you know, I went through and I read through Getter last night, because Jason Miller gave me a Getter account, so I have an online account now. This red check, you can see it, it's me and Farage on it, so if anyone wants to go to that, that's the best place to send me messages.
Just explain, what is that? Before you go further, what is that? Tell me what that account is. What's that mean?
Because I'm banned from social media, and I like to read stuff that's on social media, but I can't have accounts, because even if I make a fake account, they find it in like hours. So Jason Miller, who's the owner of Getter, which is a huge social media platform, it's a free speech platform. It's a bit like TNT, but online, yeah? You know, as a social media site. So he gave me one of those accounts, which I was really pleased he did, because it's dormant at the moment, but I'm planning on using it for the upcoming elections, because I'm going to have a lot to say on that. So because we've got a brilliant time, because we've got Britain and America heading to the polls at the same time. It's just going to be brilliant, you know. Going to be a very controversial election on both sides.
So I sometimes think that when you come on, I could just go off and have a cup of tea and come back in an hour, because you're very self-motivated when we're talking. Let me ask you a couple of big picture questions directly related to what you've said. I've been talking oftentimes about the emptiness, the paucity of the news. And at the beginning of the show, way back a couple of hours ago, I had a moan because, Paul, on the state-sponsored media station in Britain, the main stories were a record-breaking window cleaner. What else was there? There was something about stopping people from driving to school. And then they had some popular opinions, no statistics. And three of the four opinions were, I think it's a really good idea that you can't drive your children to school, which isn't too hot if you live 5 miles away from the school, but there we go. Another one was about, literally, this isn't a metaphor, I'm not sending a secret message to the KGB, a big flower with no leaves, comrade, a big flower with no leaves, which apparently smells like bad chicken. And the fourth one was Lego. That's what made up half an hour. Oh, sorry, and a closed motorway as well, at one junction on the M25, which is the motorway that goes around London in England. That made out almost half an hour of news. Why?
Well,
does that qualify as news, Paul?
That's distraction. They don't want to tell you what's really going on in the world. And every story they come out with, nobody agrees with it. Nobody falls for the propaganda anymore. So they're just thinking, everyone's demoralized. They're thinking, let's just do anything as a distraction. It's an obvious thing. Even last night when I was looking at the headlines, I was absolutely thinking, what? There's so much going on in the world. And these are on the front covers of newspapers. I mean, they were just nothing stories. But people can see through that because there's so much going on in the world. I mean, they've got everything from you. They're pushing Ukraine again, you know. There's not going to be any Ukrainians left at this rate. I mean, I watched one of their ministers saying we should call back all our refugees, not just their foreign nationals, call back all their refugees of fighting age that were sent to Britain. I saw a really funny video of four Ukrainians turn up in Ireland. They were Indians, and they were all their ages were between about 19 and 35, they were claiming, but really they're all in their 50s and 60s. I don't know how they got away with it. So they'll be recalled. But his last statement was, at least it will be better than killing Ukrainians. That's what he said. I had to listen to it back 3 times. I just couldn't believe it. He's saying, well, come on, let's get all our refugees and make them fight for a fighting age. And everyone knows that when people migrate to a country, they don't join the military. Everyone knows it. It's not a new thing. I think they're going to bring out a strategy, and their strategy is going to be, if you come and join our military, we will take you in. That's going to be the strategy. So we are going to be training people in other countries just to make the numbers say, look at our diverse military. But the trouble, when you do things like that, they won't, you know, those troops will be renegade. They won't have the real loyalty that a soldier needs to his country. He won't have that history. But I can see that happening because they are desperately trying ways, because people aren't happy about the migration. They're just not. They don't want to go on about it. But every time I speak to anyone, a neighbour, just everyone, you know, even when I did that last interview, I said that, you know, one of the nurses, she couldn't read, she's holding up the drug packets, remember?
Yeah.
And I knew she wasn't a qualified nurse, you could tell. And yet, today, this week, in the papers, what's blown up about people coming in here with fake qualifications, hundreds and hundreds of nurses, and they're not qualified. And that's obvious. And this is what happens with a lot of these migration jobs, that, you know, in certain parts of the world, how can you trust that certain part of the world to have a great university degree that's worth bringing in, you know, because so many people, there's a culture there of other people doing their university work for them. Actually, I was told that Twitter had blown up on that, and that other people were actually claiming to have done their aunties, their mums, all university work to get them through. One guy claimed he had done three of his family's degrees. And that is always the problem when you have this type of thing going on. But the migration thing, they want it. It's I'm sorry, it's like a form of people replacement. It's definitely happening. It's not helping our GDP, no matter what they say. It's demoralizing the country. People don't understand or recognize where they are anymore. And people want, people just want no migration now. Even, you know, I've got to the point now where I'd even slam legal migration down to such low numbers. And I'd go back to the way we'd do it before, where you had an expert that was absolutely brilliant and you knew how qualified he was. And he was like, bring them in, or she, bring them in. But they're the people we've got to go and headhunt. Not the people we're getting, because they're saying, oh, our number's great. Who's going to pay the pensions? Well, only people from certain demographics ever come here, work and make a success out of themselves. Most of the people bringing in, they do not. And it's just a lie. What they push on TV is a lie.
Well, come back to you in a moment. I wanted to talk specifically about some issues from the week, not least this, it might be dumbing down of the media again, where it obsessed for days about some fake royal photograph. And I also want to talk with you about the racism debate, because it seems to me that both sides are pretty much guilty as each other. I touched on that even yesterday, in fact, on my show. I just want to read you this one thing about Penny Mordaunt, who is an aspiring leadership candidate. I'd imagine she'd probably try to stand when Rishi Sunak loses the election towards the end of this year. That's not a hope, it's just a prediction. And Madrid says she was certainly in her element at the coronation with that sword, certainly well in there, hard as nails she is. Maybe we need somebody who's hard as nails, Madrid, to run this country. Seb says, nice to see Paul is feeling better, but unfortunately, I became hooked on Valium and Quaaludes as a result of his first interview with you, Lambert, to see where I should forward the bill, please.
Sorry.
Seb's going to send you the bill, Paul. You're going to get a bill.
Okay, thanks, Seb.
Seb. And there's a lot more debate as well. Josh the Bloke asks a question. I'm just going to read the reply. You'll have to find the question yourself. Go to tntradio.live if you want to see it. Elena's answer is 100%. Even scary aspect of this is that some younger people are happy with that situation because they know nothing about history or have experienced no adversity or oppression. I think that's a fundamental point now. It's a longer debate, but I'm concerned that a lot of this happens. A lot of the things that are happening are because young people are told stuff which doesn't really relate to roots. If we lived for 1,000 years, we'd all know that there isn't a climate crisis because we'd have seen a much warmer and a much colder period than today. And I do think there's a huge amount of oppression, and that oppression comes from the fact that people don't really know as much as they could do if they spent all the time looking at the facts. And opinions. Actually, I will read just the bloke's opinion because somebody wants me to. My big worry, Lambert, this is what the response was to, I just read out. My big worry, Lambert, is that we are rapidly moving from a world in which you were able to do anything unless there was a law against it, to a world in which you can do nothing unless there is a law permitting it. And that's, I think, a very valid point. Young people maybe who haven't known true freedom just accept that you have to ask permission instead of giving permission to our public servants, the people we pay the salaries to. And that's namely the politicians. They work for us. They work for us. Maybe we should have a campaign and a program called They Work For Us and bring politicians in to justify themselves and give them a performance review. Somebody who doesn't need a performance review is Paul McGann. We'll go back to him in a minute. You're listening to Lambertopic here on today's News Talk. We'll see you in a minute.
TNT's Mark Morano.
And there's a whole history of this idea that the establishment, the powers that be, the regime in power, likes the idea of a little eco-terrorism to keep the population hungry. I mean, if you think about it, their policies, government policies of the Great Reset, Net Zero, Climate Agenda, are quite literally eco-terrorism or a form of terrorism. It's, as Jesse Jackson used to say, it's economic violence, it's economic terrorism. Jesse Jackson used to say that about the Reagan administration. But in this case, it's the intentional collapse of energy, food, transportation, free speech, all to achieve and make us safer and give them more power under the auspices, if you will, of a crisis.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk TNT.
This is generally the view of people. Oh, we don't know much about Assange. Well, you should know, because whether you know it or not, he is fighting for you.
For your courage and leadership and tenacity in journalism and publishing.
Since 2010, Assange has been held in progressively narrower, darker, colder, and crueler spaces.
He has been detained since the 7th of December 2010 in one form or another.
And we are now here after years of imprisonment.
WikiLeaks is a non-state hostile intelligence service.
I think the man is a high-tech terrorist.
A high-tech terrorist.
A traitor, a treasonous.
He has to answer for what he has done.
Assange faces up to 175 years in prison for publishing classified documents exposing U.S. war crimes.
The U.S. government narrative about Julian is a complete fraud. It is a complete fraud from A to Z.
Julian took on the most powerful countries in the world, basically all of them.
We now have confirmed that there were plans to kidnap Julian here in the center of London, or even assassinate him.
No one who instigated that illegal and immoral war has been brought to justice. But the great truth teller sits behind bars.
If wars can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth.
Julian Assange is a hero.
What if everything we thought we knew about somebody was a lie? Would we be willing to go on a new journey of understanding? This is a story of deception, lies, bravery, and a man who risked everything to bring the truth to light.
Mr. Assange shows all the symptoms that are typical for a person that has been exposed to psychological torture over a prolonged period of time.
He looked at me intensely and said, "I hate to say this." He then hesitated, visibly troubled and searching for words. And then he finally said, "Please, save my life."
May future generations have the ability to speak without restraint. May our children and their children know truth and have access to information that leads to justice. Wherever Julian goes, free speech goes with him.
If there is a bird that is about to take flight, stretch her wings and rule the skies, may it be a peace dove and no longer a bald eagle.
If you think Assange is a traitor, he's a rapist, he's a narcissist, he's a hacker, I don't blame you, because you have been deceived. And if you think you've not been deceived, that's normal, because otherwise it wouldn't be deception.
The talk.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good day to you, whether you're listening or watching in Rush Home or Russia. You're most welcome to the home of free speech, and you're invited to join the conversation. Go to tntradio.live. You can get involved in quite a discursive dialogue today, covering everything from Canadian conservatism right through to broccoli and all points in between. Various claims and counterclaims, things I find interesting, but I can't possibly check out while we're on air. Someone's been accused of being a little parasite. Who is that? You have to go to tntradio.live and find out. Do keep your calls and comments coming. If you do want to call in, you'll find the phone numbers on that site too. With me, Len Potopic, here on today's News Talk TNT, we've got Paul McGowan, Mad Dog McGowan. That was your nickname, wasn't it, in the past?
Yeah, well, very long time ago, yeah. Very, very long time ago.
Were you rabid?
I don't know.
I don't want to elaborate on it or why.
Well, now everybody will want to know. You'll be followed now. You'll be followed maybe by an angry mob of press
maybe
people.
One
yes.
day.
We'll do that as your retirement. Go on.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Well, you know, this is going back to like how demoralized the youth are. They are demoralized. They find it really hard. They can't see a future. I also think we have to. I'm really love the idea of people doing apprenticeships. I think it's brilliant. Why it went away, I never know. But we need to fix the university system because Labour destroyed it. When I went to university, it was free and you could go and study anything you like. And when it wasn't free, because I'm an ex-soldier, obviously, and I've got a WP, I've got a pension, I could find the military stepped in to help me fund it. You know, SAFA helped me find people to help me fund my postgrad. Now, what I noticed in the end, from 98 onwards, people were allowed to build their own degree. So they could do a degree in something like, I'll do my degree in Hickory Dickory Dock, you know, and they'll just study, you know, nonsense for 3 years. Then those people studied nonsense for 3 years. Then they thought, couldn't get a job with their degree. I thought, what am I going to do? And they went, teacher training. So they went and did another year on top of that with their nonsense degree. And now they're teaching children. You know, and they're teaching at universities, you know, and they're all nut jobs. But we need to go, we need nurses, right? We need engineers, because we can't build anything, it seems. We need to make nurses courses totally free again and give them bursaries. We need to do the same with engineers. If this country needs these people, and we need to know they have got good, solid education, and we can rely on them, we need to do it ourselves. We can't keep stealing people from other countries. I mean, I'm not even sure other countries are that happy to lose all their nurses, you know? I mean, literally, I don't think there's a nurse left in the Philippines. We've taken them all, and they're great nurses. I know a load of them. They were brilliant with me in hospital. But how do the Philippines feel about this, you know? I mean, at the moment, it's turmoil, you know? But you can't keep stealing other people's talent.
But let's go, I'll let you talk, because every time you discuss things, it's always salient to what's going on in the news. There's a small point about the degree in Hickory Dickory Dock. I think there is something to be studied there, Paul, because that rodent goes up every hour and falls down. And two things could be learned from that. Number one, sheer perseverance. And secondly, an inference that a small rodent could tell the time. Now, that could be groundbreaking, Paul. You could actually get a Nobel Prize for biology or something for that. So
I actually, during lockdown, I had to have some surgery then as well. And I had rescued a miniature dwarf hamster. And I let him live free range in my house. It moved into a chair. And that little hamster, when you take them out of their cage and they don't live like a little tiny pet, they act like dogs. I used to come home and he'd come, little thing, come running up the, over towards me across the floor. And I'd go, all right. And it was absolutely really funny. I think all little things, little animals, I think they're all far smarter than what we're told.
Well, quite possibly. But then if I was a hamster, then I would happily live in your house because I think you'd be much more generous and kind than some people I've seen towards their own children. But that's another story. I want to ask you this question based on your free-range thinking, really. This week, we saw two dominating stories in the British media. One was the fake photo with the royal family, and the second one was some racism around. On the fake photo, I wanted to bring you on because you're an artist. I want to ask you this question. The Princess of Wales is accused of putting out a fake photo, or somebody was, and she then took the rap and said, oh, it was me. I'm an amateur photographer. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cause trouble. One part of me says that's no different to a painting of Henry VIII when they didn't have cameras, which portrayed him in the best positive light, possible light. So it's not new. The other part of me says, well, hang on a sec. If this was meant to reassure the public that everything was good, then they shouldn't have doctored it. As an artist, do you have any issue with the photograph being doctored? We'll talk about the politics in a minute. But as an artist, do you mind if famous people Photoshop their pictures, considering that the internet's full of those sorts of pictures?
It's been happening for years. I used to have, even my art, before I taught myself how to use Photoshop, because I'd only learned that because I felt like I was being left behind. I used to have a brilliant Photoshop artist called Chris Stocker. He was absolutely brilliant. He Photoshopped masses of magazine covers, masses of models, all loads of politicians and rock bands. It was all manipulated. It's been happening for years. As soon as that story come out, I just thought, it's just what a waste of time. What a waste of time. Yeah, it had a bad bit of Photoshop on the sleeves. But the reason why they really went to it is because some of the kids, the little boys' fingers were a bit weird, looked like AI. And they thought, is this AI? So I can totally understand why people were so intrigued by it. But I've been on it. I found it the most, what the hell? And now I heard that AP have gone even further and, you know, saying they're not no longer a trusted source. It's just way over the top. And, you know, I'm not really big on the royal family anyway. I've never been, I'm not like not a fan, but I'm not a fan. I mean, I didn't even know when Harry was getting married. I just thought, why is all this bunting up? You know, and then I clicked on. I thought, yeah, because I don't watch the news, normal news all the time. And I thought, oh yeah, it's a royal wedding, must be. And so I'm not big on that. But I think she's. I think fair play to her for having a go at it. She didn't do a bad job. I have had a look at it. Apart from that sleeve was a bit dodgy, you know.
So if that's your artistic view, and I have to tell you, from a professional point of view, I wouldn't have bothered going into that detail, looking at the details of a photo in the first place. Why then, if what you said is correct, why didn't the royal household or the press office for the Princess of Wales simply say, yes, it's been photoshopped, end of story? If they said yes,
I don't know.
It's been touched up. Why didn't they simply say that? And then it was, oh yeah, but it's photoshopped. Yes, and then they would, instead of apologising. Because I don't get why you apologize. I've got a phone and I don't tend to do photoshopping, but sometimes I play with the filters. But it just makes something a bit more dramatic. Somebody said, oh, was that the actual natural colors? No, I pressed the filter. And that's the end of the conversation. So this is a rod they made for their own back because they looked like they were apologizing.
They shouldn't have apologized because it was just using Photoshop. And, you know, to be honest, I don't think she did, apart from the sleeve, I don't think she did such a bad job. It all looked quite,
if it was
color balanced quite well. I know, for an amateur, she may have even done it on her phone for all we know. But
if she did it at all,
it's just
my problem, sorry to talk over you, Paul. My confusion, I've only really been thinking about this in preparation to talking with you. I came to the view that what they should have said, to me, this is the big story. They said they should have said, oh, we're really sorry, you know, I'm really embarrassed. They said, yes, we touched it. I touched it up, or it was touched up. The story goes nowhere after that. What makes it interesting is they went along with this weird conspiracy theory conversation about da da da. It's been touched up. Now, whether you're royal
list
or not, that's not the point to me. As soon as you take a photograph, the software makes judgments about the contrast. As soon as you press the button, something happens, which is a judgment by the equipment. And I wonder what they're playing at, apparently in collusion with the media, to make a big deal of a story where I was talking to an artist yesterday, someone you know, actually, Anna, and she was saying, I'm just changing one part of a painting. Well, that's normal. She's touching up her own work. So to me, what's weird is that they simply said, well, yeah, of course I touched it up. Everybody does that.
Yeah. It happens with everything. It's been happening with everything for a long time. I do not know how that media story as well wasn't quashed immediately, because it's just said, yeah, Photoshop. I agree with you totally. Totally. It's just I can't understand why people want to take it so far. And then there's a story about she's not wearing her rings and that. And I was just thinking, God, they don't want to let it go. So the media needed it. So they had to keep letting it go, letting it go, letting it go. Because, you know, the stories have been pretty bland of late, as we mentioned earlier. It's probably the biggest story of the week. Like that, and obviously the racist row. That was the biggest story of the week. And do you want me to just
So I want to talk about that one after the break. I think there's a pretty big story. Russia and Finland, which have had a fairly cordial relationship. I wouldn't say it's warm, but it's been steady. That's beginning to go into trouble now with all this messing about with NATO and so on. I would have liked to see a proper analysis with a representative of the Russian state and a representative of the Finnish state to have a debate about that. But that wasn't important. A third or half of the news coverage was about this doctored photo. Fake photo, yeah, call it a fake photo if you want. And what really bugs me, Paul, is a bit of artistic interpretation happens as soon as you choose how to frame the picture. And instead, we've ended up with this weird dialogue. And what makes me suspicious about the whole thing is why the royal family, on purpose or accidentally, colluded on a totally trivial point about a camera, a photo. Do you know what it reminded me of, Paul? Like, it was when Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the album by the Beatles came out, and people were trying to see mysterious interpretations, and in the cover, it was a clue that John Lennon was dead or something. It was a cover, a psychedelic cover of an album.
Yeah. I know. There are lots of people that thought there's something wrong with Kate, or I've heard quite a lot of stories about it. I can't believe people gave it so much time, especially the one like they're getting divorced. I've heard a lot, you know, but it's just a story. There's been things to talk about all week on the news. Like, for a start, the Finland thing. Finland have got a damn good army. Russia could not just walk in, you know. They have got a good military, you know, and they know their terrain.
Well, they've got a good army. It's called the mountains. It saved them before.
Exactly. I mean, nobody really wants to go in. And Russia's tried it before, haven't they? And they, you know, with some success. But they wouldn't want that again, not with a modern Finnish army. But, they've been avoiding stories in the media all week with puff pieces or just stupid little controversial things. But I mean, even last night when I looked at the papers, I just could not believe that was the best they had. And there is a lot of stuff. And the race row, when we get to it, I've got quite a bit to say on that because I found that was fascinating.
Yeah, let's talk about that in a moment because I want to know your take on that as well. It's the only chance I've really got to talk about that today as well. But we're talking with Paul McGowan, Mad Dog McGowan. A former military man who is also an artist. I wonder what you think about this idea. Everyone, I don't very often do it, but I assume that everyone has photoshopped a photo because as soon as you choose the framing, you're making a judgment. Why did the media go crazy about it? And why didn't the royal family press officer or whoever say, yeah, of course it was touched up. Oh, yeah, but look, this finger's missing. Well, it's okay. It's not touched up brilliantly, but so what? That's what they should have said. That's my view. That's my opinion. This is the back. I'm not having a debate. Go on.
You're totally correct. It was just they could have just basically said, just we photoshopped it. No big deal. Everyone does it. Even people in studios who are commentating on it, they do it with their photographs, even their press photographs. We've all seen.
As soon as you put makeup on as a TV broadcaster, you're touching yourself up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean.
Even when you crop an image, you're adjusting and you're reframing it to hide some things and then reveal others. You know, I can't believe the floor over it.
My argument isn't pro or anti Republican. I get the feeling a lot of people are Republican and the people who are very royal family. My issue is why this became a story in the first place, why the mainstream media is obsessed about it, and even today we're talking about it too. Let me hear your views as well. We'll come back to Paul McGowan just after a break. Remember, coming up after 12, we've got Anne Widdecombe, who is a former government minister in the United Kingdom, talking about a very serious issue, how the child maintenance system is messing up the lives of army people. You could say they go from military hero to social zero as a result of the way that they're treated, with apparently no right to appeal. It's a shocking, shocking tale. And I think there's not an ounce of justice in it. But for now, next quarter of an hour, we're still going to be with Paul McGowan. I'm Len Topic. I'll see you in just a few minutes.
JDRF's vision is to create a world without type 1 diabetes. The type 1 diabetes community is at the heart of everything JDRF does. We were founded by the type 1 diabetes community. In the main, we are governed by the type 1 diabetes community, we're energised by the type 1 community, and we're accountable to the type 1 diabetes community. It's on their behalf that we exist, and it's on their behalf that we must succeed. JDRF exists to rid the world of type 1 diabetes. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. So for us, that means rallying all the resources and all the people and all the organisations required to make that a reality as quickly as possible. The world's best researchers, exciting innovative companies, and the passion of the type 1 diabetes community, then delivered through the health system so lives get better every day, day after day, until the day we find a cure. To everybody in the type 1 diabetes community, no matter your age or stage with the disease, whether you were diagnosed recently or a long time ago, we need you to know that we are here working on your behalf to deliver a world without type 1 diabetes as quickly as we can. Thank you to everybody who's supported JDRF in so many ways. You are making our vision of a world without type 1 diabetes possible.
She was reading at a second grade level in kindergarten.
Pod 4 swimming before she was 7.
Finally convinced mom to get her ears pierced in the 3rd grade.
Came in 2nd at her 5th grade spelling bee.
Drill team in the 7th.
And with one stroke of the keyboard.
One click of the mouse.
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Report a cyber tip today.
You're listening to Limbit Opic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Limbit Opic show. I'll get my name right in the end. As we're talking with Paul McGowan, coming up in the next hour, we're talking about a very serious matter relating to the armed forces and child maintenance support and judgments made which wreck lives and don't necessarily work for the children either. All of that after the hour. But for now, with Paul McGowan, let me read some of the messages so I don't get hopelessly behind. I was asking about whether the mouse ran up the clock. In fact, I was stating that in Tickery Dickery Dock, it ran up a number of times. I think it ran up a number of times, but Seb disagrees. Seb says the mouse only ran up once and had its brains bashed in by the bell striker. I think that's a conspiracy theory, Ben. Oh, Seb, sorry. I want to see your data, Seb. I want to see your data for that. Holly says, sure, you weren't hallucinating after all those drugs, Paul. Seeing little animals, that's about your so-called hamster friend. Did it speak to you? Did it tell you to do things, Paul?
If it could, it would have.
Okay, you're backtracking now. Whatever you know that you're not going to tell us the truth now. That's the tricky thing. A few more here. Just Bloke says, correct, Paul. Photo manipulation has been used for years. Stalin used it. That's a very famous thing, of course. They used to airbrush people out. Airbrush people out was the phrase at the time. D. Scatty says, it's more the delicious conspiracies behind the photo that matter. They have been interesting. They have been interesting. They've been feeding the Twitter sphere and the gossip sphere all week. And Seb adds, distraction. Look over here.
One of the raw portraits, I think there was a leg missing once. It's just happened before, you know? There was a whole leg missing, but I was standing behind a chair. I mean, and nobody made a big deal out of it. So it was very strange how people made a massive deal over that photo. And it's got to be said, it was, but, you know... Well,
Holly says, I prefer the photo of her in the Union Jack bikini. I mean, if you're going to Photoshop, do it properly. I haven't seen that one, I have to say. Seba's greatest weapon of war since we first learned to hunt is distraction. And Seb asked me a question. Are you a distraction, then? But I don't know. Am I AI? Surely they can do better than this if I am, Seb. Holly really says, honestly, who cares? Madrid says, love a bit of hallucinating, but we're going back to the debate about drugs again, I think, there. Just one more. Just the Bloke says, said it before, with apologies, I'll say it again. The photo was just one element in the deliberate destruction of the royal family, now being engineered by the Gibraltar misanthropists. Oh, sorry, not Gibraltar, that's my site. sorry, Gibraltar, I take that back. I've been there, I love the place. It's great, great place. By the globalitarian misanthropists, try saying that at night. One world government has no place for the royals, and their useful idiots status is expiring. And Mazzy, funny polar opposites, Harry and Meg, privacy, mid, and Will. Look at us, just bathwater, pull the plug. Lots more coming there. I can't keep up with it. You're actually typing faster than I can read them. By the end of that poll, there were more unread messages when I went than I started. Just go to the chat, folks. Go to tntradio.live chat. Watch the debate, and let's just get back to Paul. Now, we've talked about a number of things. This is the other one I wanted to ask you about, because I know you'll have a strong view about it, the racism row. Apparently, this guy, Frank Hester, who's given 10 or 15 million pounds, something like that, to the Conservatives, has been accused of racism against Diane Abbott, who's a Labour MP. And all week, the enemies of the Conservatives, and actually one or two Conservatives for some reason, have said, give the money back, give the money back, give the money back. But here's the thing, Paul. The person he was allegedly racist about is suspended from the Labour Party for, wait for it, being racist. What's going on? What's your take, Paul?
That is really, that I, you know, you've just taken the words out of my mouth. First of all, I'd like to say, Lindsay Hoyle, Lindsay Hoyle protected Labour. When she was trying to stand up, I think it was 47 times, Lindsay Hoyle would not let her speak, and they were speaking about her. Do you know what? That was only to protect Labour, because everyone knows you can call a Conservative as a Conservative donor. They're in the racism row. She may have mentioned Labour, but Diane Abbott, you know, she can't say anything. She's always saying racist remarks. I mean, she's historically famous for it. And it's not like she's done it once or twice. She's done it a hell of a lot, you know. And but she seems, you know, she likened Jews to gingers, people once. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I think Diane Abbott should have been allowed to speak, though, because it's just so funny when she does speak, because anything could come out. But yeah, was it, what the comment probably made tongue-in-cheek originally, you know, it was probably wrong. It probably wasn't really intentionally meant like shooter. It was, but the thing is, it's got bad optics to it, isn't it? And for a donor, but I don't think the Tories should have to give that money back. I don't think that. Why?
It is an interesting point,
it's as
right?
As that.
Hemingway says this. I can't corroborate this, Hemingway. I'm just reading it out. You put it here, and it says in 2012, Diane Abbott tweeted that white people love playing divide and rule. We should not play their game. Then she went and started throwing shoes at her neighbor. I'm not sure if that's literal or metaphorical. Well, okay, there we are. I do know that a lot of people think that Diane Abbott's not a very good politician. And let's be honest, whether you think she is or not isn't the point. I very much doubt that Frank Hester has made quite clear he doesn't mean that somebody should go and shoot Diane Abbott. But what I'm concerned about here is that we've had a whole week's worth of this where Frank Hester has been made to apologize. His party has apologized. They've said he shouldn't have said it. But there hasn't really been a whisper about Diane Abbott's own performance and the fact that she is technically suspended from the Labour Party for having said things which could be regarded as racist. Now, I don't understand, Paul, how we got to this situation where she's actually been, she's a member of parliament. She's a servant. She's paid by us for her job. Yeah. Frank Hester isn't, though you could argue he made a lot of money out of the COVID scam, but he isn't technically a member of parliament. Is there some kind of injustice going on here or double standards?
Yeah. It's a massive double standard. But literally, Lindsay Hall played a big part in how that played out in the Commons. Because, well, but look, he was protecting the Labour Party again. He was protecting them. Even though she's suspended, she was going to accuse the Labour Party of something. I pretty much feel pretty confident that somebody from the Labour Party said, don't let her speak, don't let her speak. Because it just seemed like, I've just never seen anything like it. 47 times she stood up when they're speaking about it, and she wasn't allowed to speak and defend yourself. But how can you say you believe in free speech and you don't let that woman speak? I mean, I love it when they let her speak because it's just hilarious what comes out. Her point of view can be, I don't know, I don't even, her how she views the world is through a very strange lens. But I love it when she comes out of her garbage and makes loads of mistakes. I absolutely love it. I think they should have let her, unless that Lindsay Hoyle, it was like come from Labour. Do not let her speak. Do not let her speak. And he's, you know, taken Labour favouritism like twice in a month now. And I think there's something more to that story. There's something more. And I think maybe it will come out at some point. But the not letting her speak thing, that was very extreme. 47 times. I mean, and they're talking about her. Just imagine you're in the room.
An earlier general election, 2017 general election, when she wanted to be one of the most senior politicians in Britain, she was asked on a radio station about police officers. I'll find the quote in a moment. I found the quote, actually. And she was asked by the interviewer about how she would pay for the extra 10,000 police. Let me quote her verbatim, Paul McGowan. She said, if we recruit the 10,000 policemen and women over a four-year period, we believe it'll be about £300,000. In other words, she was going to pay each police officer £30 a year. Now, she wanted to be the Home Secretary.
I know.
To me.
And they didn't let her speak. I mean, she's absolutely, honestly, she's like a comedy character. I can't take her seriously. And I love the memes that people make about her. They are so funny. But that's, you know, just let her speak and destroy her own argument, because that's what she does best. But I remember that very, very well. I remember listening to it. It was on a radio show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on
a radio show.
Yeah. TV? It doesn't matter where it was, but the point was that she showed herself to be completely incapable of understanding the numbers. Now, to me, she damns herself by saying something like that. £30 a year per police officer. Yes. Now, Hester didn't need to go into the other stuff. As you say, it's bad optics. In our very woke society, it was bound to create a backlash. But then that leads me to the second point. So basically, there's plenty of evidence to show she doesn't understand these things. Because then she corrected herself and made another mistake again. It was just a car crash interview. But here's the second thing. Whoever condemned Hester, the Tory donor, couldn't have been that upset about it, because it happened 5 years ago. If he was worried that Hester was stirring up racial hatred, why didn't the person go straight to somebody and say, I'm very unhappy with what this man Hester's just said? He waited 5 years to bring it up. If I thought that you, Paul, were a clear and present danger, let's say, to the black community in Bath, where you live, I'd deal with it now. I wouldn't wait 5 years and say, oh, yes, by the way, I've just seen Paul McGowan on the telly. I think he might be going for a job, so I'll let them know. I deal with it now. It's just the whole thing seemed to be an ugly mudslinging contest, which ultimately discredited the whole of politics.
It is absolutely ludicrous that it's 5 years old. I mean, it's the whole week. It's been like this all week. Yeah. It's been the strangest news week. That is a generated story. Mm-hmm. I don't know whose benefit it was for, but it's definitely a big distraction. So,
well, what else
is going on around the world? Because something's happening.
We've only got a minute.
There's too many things happening to not report them, and we got this garbage by our MSM.
Here's my opinion. What I think was happening was somebody leaked the story with the purpose of damaging the Conservatives, and they're already weak. Then it wasn't handled very well by the Conservatives. Then the media decided to let Diane Abbott have a very light ride and not remind people, by and large, that she was being suspended for racist comments herself. And then they didn't bother really analysing the whole thing properly and deciding what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in a free society to be said. So the whole thing just becomes a car crash for British politics, as far as I can see. No one came out of this one well.
Nobody. Because what it actually did was remind everybody of Diane Abbott's situation and her past and her history, you know? Yeah. And at the end of the day, it wasn't a Tory politician that said it. It wasn't even contemporary. It was a hit job on the Tories. But, you know, I like hit jobs on the Tories. I think they've let us down, demoralised the nation. I think they're terrible politicians. I think they're a terrible party. And I just like I can't wait for him to be gone, really. I just don't want Labour to get him, but Labour looks pretty much a shoo-in at the moment. But
that's a problem you've got. I want to have a Home Secretary who can add up. I want to have a Home Secretary who doesn't think she can recruit 10,000 extra police officers for £300,000 a year. Or was that across the 4 years? We're out of time. Paul, it's good to see you so much better. Come back soon. Always great to see you. I love the way you set your own agenda. You don't follow mine very much, but that's the essence of free speech. Paul it's McGowan always. There, making a great recovery from what was a near-death experience. He had a very bad and very good experience in the NHS, all within the matter of a week or two. Coming up next, you're going to have a very good experience in today's News Talk TNT, a serious issue which has not got the coverage it deserves. Anne Widdecombe, former government minister, will be joining me to talk about what amounts to a scandal relating to former military forces personnel and the child maintenance system. It's been in the news before in different forms, but this is an exclusive. We have an hour with her. Don't go anywhere. This affects you and people that you know. All of that with me, Lemba Topic, on today's News Talk. I'll see you in a few minutes.